Hi, my name is Mark Jenkins. I'd like to thank you for taking the time to watch this 15-minute video. Today we're going to be talking about baptism. I'm going to try to answer a few questions that some people have regarding maybe the misconception that they have about it. There are people that believe that the act of baptism, actually simply being, and I'm raising my right hand, I'll be doing this during this video to demonstrate the act of baptism. They believe that being baptized, laid down into the water and raised up again is all that they need in order to be saved. Or some even talk about the little sprinkling on the forehead, and then there's debate about, you know, should you be sprinkled or would you, or is it better to be dunked? And the truth of the matter is that it's only supposed to be an outward witness of what's taking place on the inside of the person. The act itself does not save a person. If you're a sinner and haven't made Jesus Lord of your life, and you let someone, a priest or a pastor or whoever, baptize you, whether you are dunked or sprinkled, when you come back up, you either just have a wet forehead and just a wet body and still a wet sinner. You know, it's not about the act. It's about the change in your heart. And see, that's supposed to be just an outward witness to the world that I am a different person. I have been saved. I'm born again. The person that used to live in this body died the death of the cross in Jesus, and now I'm born again. See, that's what it's about. So hopefully here at the beginning that'll at least answer that part of it. Can you be saved by just simply being dunked or sprinkled? And the answer is no. That will not in and of itself guarantee a person to spend eternity with Jesus. What does guarantee it? What does guarantee it is by making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, by surrendering yourself to Him, surrendering yourself to Him, and receiving what He did in your place. So, and that is really exemplified in the natural act of baptism. And that's what we want to look at, how the symbolism of baptism, where you're laid in the water and then you're raised out of that water, how that signifies what has taken place in a person who has made Jesus Lord of their life, who is now born again. See, I've used this in previous videos. And I'm holding now a black pen, which signifies a person that's not born again. When this person makes Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, the spiritually dead man identifies with Jesus on the cross and is laid into that grave. And then what you see, and I changed the color of the pen here to a yellow pen, raised to life again, is the new creation. This is the new person that you became when you were born again. The instant you made Jesus Lord of your life, the instant you said, Jesus, I surrender to you, this change takes place. You're laid in the water of the death of Jesus, and you're raised to life again in the firstborn from the dead. You're a new person, and it all happens in an instant. You don't necessarily feel anything. You can't go by your feelings. It's what you believe in your heart, and you believe that Jesus died in your place. He came to this world as the Son of God. He died the death of the cross, that He was innocent in and of Himself. He had no sin. He was sinless and lived a perfect life. But then He died in our place, and He allowed sin, our sin, to be laid upon Him and died. And so we identify with Him as our representative in that death. And basically we're saying, you died in my place. You took the pain that was due for me and died so that I could live. And that's all that is signified in the act of being laid into that grave. And that's what's symbolized when you're baptized and you're laid into that water. You died. You died. That old person doesn't exist any longer. That old ugly sinner that you were is dead in Jesus. And then as you're raised to life again, you're raised as a new creation, a new creature, is what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 5:17. So let's look at Jesus and see that He did this. And And that took place in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. So he was in the water, probably about waist deep, was laid down in the water, was raised up out of the water, or in other words, laid down and then raised back up. And as he did that, it says the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This symbolized what was about to happen in the future for Jesus. This is really Jesus' guarantee that he is going to die on that cross for us. In other words, he's basically saying in this act of allowing John to baptize him, I am going to this cross. And as I'm showing my right hand being laid into the water, I am dying the death of the cross, and I will subsequently be raised to life, the first begotten from the dead. And that's what we see in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. So this is Jesus making giving his word, a guarantee, this is what is going to happen. I will do this. I will go to that cross and die the death of the cross and be raised to life. And upon doing that, we see the Holy Ghost descending, coming upon him, and the voice of God the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And it is him being launched into his ministry from that moment on. So that's the baptism that Jesus experienced. So what about our baptism? Let's go to a couple of verses here. Verses 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. So here we have, again, the black pen. If one died for all, now Jesus, now as this represents Jesus, understand this. I'm holding the black pen, but he himself was sinless. He came to this earth without sin, spiritually alive. He never sinned on this earth. So why am I holding a black pen right now and saying that this represents Jesus? Because although he was sinless, our sin was laid upon him. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the innocent bore the penalty of the guilty. And so as he died, this verse in 2 Corinthians 5:14 is saying, if one died for all, then we're all dead. We identify with him in that death. We're saying, I see myself dead. And this is, upon coming to Jesus, coming to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're identifying with him and saying, I see that you died the death of the cross in my place. I'm identifying with you in that death. I die the death of the cross in you. And you see yourself dead. So whenever you're baptized, that first part where you're laid in the water is that witness. You're bearing witness. You're saying, I identify in Jesus that I'm dead in him, that the old man is dead in him, and that I have been raised to life, a new creature, a new creation, which is verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That old man is gone. No longer does he exist. You are, and I'm holding this yellow pen, a new creature. And here's a point that I want to make sure you understand. When this new creature is coming to life again, the fact that he is coming up out of that water, if you think about it in the natural, when a woman gives birth, the first thing that breaks is the water. The water that surrounds the embryo. And so as you're coming up out of that water, the water in this case is representing the birth that's taken place inside of you, that you are a new creature. Do you see that? Let's look at a couple of more verses. Romans chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Baptized into his death. So that act of baptism, that being laid in the water, is being identifying in his death. We're saying we died the death of the cross. Therefore, we are buried with him, verse 4, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. We're raised again. We're born again, raised to life. We should walk in newness of life. That old person is gone. He's dead. He doesn't have any control over us any longer. We shouldn't continue to identify with the old person that used to exist in this body, because that person is dead. In the instant you made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, you became a new creature. All of that old is gone and everything has become new. So we have to stop identifying with that old person. That's not who we are now. Now, granted, there may be consequences for the actions of that old person that we still are having to live out, you know, in the future. But even at that, we're living it out as a child of God. We've been born again into the family of God. He's our Father. And that's what Romans chapter 8, we're already in Romans. That's what Romans chapter 8 is talking about. Verse 16, and if the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 17, and if children, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We are in God's family now. He is our Father. Jesus is our Lord and Savior, our eldest brother. And so we should no longer continue to identify with the person that used to live in this body. That person's gone. You're a new creation. You're a new creature. You are in God's family. You are born of his Spirit. And that old man doesn't exist anymore. Now, maybe your flesh, maybe this body, maybe your mind may still think the way the old person thought. Your body may still crave some of the things that the old person liked to participate in. And those things have to be addressed. There's no doubt about that. You don't want to continue to live like that old man, because that's not who you are. So now it's a matter of empowering the Holy Ghost through tools that Jesus has told us about, and we'll get into those in the future. But it's time to empower the Holy Ghost to deal with the part of us that didn't get born again, which is our natural body and our mind and our will and our emotions. Those things which incorporate the soul, those things have to be dealt with. And that's what this is about, growing up spiritually. And that's what we're going to help you do. In the videos, future videos, we're going to be talking about this, and hopefully we can help you to grow and develop and to no longer identify with that person that you used to be. Amen? Isn't that good news? Father, thank you for each person that's watched this, and I believe that the truth of your word will be enlightened to them, and they can walk into it and be victorious in every area of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed.